So last time we did this, we took a representation or a particular specific example in A0 and we did reasoning by translating it into propositional logic. Okay, so that was a specific case. So this time we will go for the general case and see what happens. So general case, so what do we have? So what we want to find out is, given a D, an observation O, okay, and say this is the initial state observation. We don't have any oracles, and we want to say find out F after A1 to AM. So we want to figure this out by doing a transformation of this and this generate some theory TRDO and entails we said like F M plus 1. Okay? So this is what we want to do somehow. So this is in the language of A0, this is in the language of propositional logic. Okay? So the translation. So we have to translate D and O and this part. So D part is the hardest one. So suppose, if you remember last time, we had propositions, we had formulas for each of the fluents. Okay, so we can say for each fluent F. So what can we have? We can have positive effects. So we can have, say, let me write down, say A1 causes F if the P11 to P1R1, and similarly AL causes F if P L1 P L R L. So these are various actions which might cause F. So we want to collect for every fluent, we want to collect all such actions, all such propositions or all such representations, specifications, and then we might have negative ones. So we might have something like the B1 causes not F if say Q11 to Q1 and say S1 and BN. This is, let's say, quite duplication. Not F if Q1 M1 to QM S1. Okay? So this is a general case that, say, for a fluent we have all these actions A1 to AL which make F true if these conditions are true, and we have actions B1 to BN which makes not F true if these conditions are true. So now we want to write something like F N plus 1 if and only if we are writing a formula. So this is the formula we want to find. So, if you haven't seen the slide, let's think about it. So, when can F1 plus 1 be true? So, one of these actions may make it true, like this action may make it true. And if can make it true, so we can say A1 is true and all these preconditions have to be true, right? A1 cannot make it true automatically. So A1 must happen in N, and so A1 must happen at time point N, and all this must be true in time point 1. So P11 n and dot 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 P1 R1 n. Right? What else? Or another one of these. So we can have dot dot dot. Any of these can happen. A L N and B L1 N and dot 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 B L R L N. Okay. So one of these must be true. This actually corresponds to F belonging to the positive. If you remember E plus how it was the notation we were using, plus E A plus say a state and an action. So it's like state and an action. Right? There's a positive effect. If one of these, if these conditions are true and A happens, A1 happens, so these are all those conditions. What else? How can F be true? So think of this intuitively. How can F be true on time point n plus 1? One is if one of these actions happen in time point n and these are the corresponding conditions are true, then F can be true in n plus 1. What is the other way F can be true at time point n plus 1? Inertia, right? So what would be the inertia condition? So is this or this, 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 or, okay, another possibility is, it's true at Fn, and, okay, so it's true at Fn and, how do I say nothing changed? So we can go step by. So basically we are saying Fn is true and none of these really make it false, right? So how do I say that this does not make it false? That either this action did not happen, okay? So we can say, put a big one. So we can say not B1, this action did not happen. Or even if it happened, if this one of these conditions is false, then it won't matter either. Or not Q11 or not Q1S1. Okay? So this just takes care of this one. That F is true in time point N and this particular one does not affect. Yes? We just have this. We don't have anything, any other kind of rule. We don't have executability conditions. We are dealing with still A0. Okay? What more? So, what should I say? I mean, what would be the next? What should I write next? And? So I should have many of these, and at the end I can say this one, that even this one should not, I don't know if you can read this, so I will say not BM or not QM1 or not QMSM. Okay, so this one I have this slide. Oh, here, okay. So this is basically this first part. So Fn plus 1 if A1, yeah? Did I miss something to say? Tell me louder, can we remove? Can you remove?
Yeah.
No, because, so let's look at this. Okay. So this is the same thing I have there. So let's look at here. So we are saying F can be true in n plus 1 if and only if we enumerate all possible ways it can happen, then that's how we can get if and only if. Okay? Because there's no other way F can be true in n plus 1. So what are the possible ways of F can be true in n plus 1? Is that A can happen, A1 can happen and the preconditions of A1 are true, or A2 can happen and preconditions of A2 are true, and so on up to AL. All those, so basically some action making it happen. Or F was true in time point n and none of the actions that can mess up F happen, or if they happen then their preconditions are not true. So that's what we have, is F is true at n and B1 is an action which can mess it up. So B1 can mess it up if Q11 to Q1n1 is Q1 S1 is all of them are true. So if any of them, either Q11, Q12 up to Q1 S1 is false, or if B1 that did not happen, then that rule or that particular statement cannot cause trouble, and we have to do that for all of them from B1 to Bn. Okay, so that's what we have. I don't know if you could read there. So that's what we have. Does it make sense? And these things means once you write it down, it's easy to figure it out, but coming up with it from scratch is tough. Now, so that was the D part, was easy. I mean, not easy, that was the most complicated part. Then for the observations, all we have is if F is true in O, then we just write F1 at the time point 1. And for now we go to the query, and if the query is F after A1 to AT, then we look at saying, okay, at time point 1, which actions happen? So we have to list all the actions in our domain description and say only A1 happened and none of them happened in time point 1, because we are going one by one. And then the next one says A2 happens in time point 2 and nothing else happened, and so on up to the time point 3. So this is one way to do it. We can have better representations, but this is one way of saying that at each time point one action happened. Exactly in time point 1 A1 happened, in time point 2 A2 happened, in time point 3 A3 happened, and so on. Okay? No. So. Okay. Yeah. Oracles makes things more complicated, so we are not talking about oracles. Okay. We are just translating that T R D O. So we are putting them as actually T R D O Q there, and the F part is needed here, because these are the actions that happened, and we are going to put here, actually this is Q. So what we are defining is this part. And I think this will entail S is 2 at time point M plus 1. That's the F. T plus whatever, yeah, this is T is then to the T plus. Okay, and so one other thing to note, especially when you're writing papers, is when you do this indices, if they're not the same, then you use different ones. Otherwise, if you use the same T or M in different places, people will think that they have some link. So that's something you have to be careful. It just makes it a little cumbersome, but you cannot use the same thing. I mean, we have many, many weekends here, all these places, so you have to use different ones, unless they are supposed to be the same. Okay? So what is this? So when you did this, so if you're doing research, it's not enough just to say that, okay, I did this and this worked. You have to prove formally that indeed, so there is a proposition saying, given a consistent domain description D, a complete set of initial state observations O, and a query Q of this form, then D O entails Q if and only if, and we call that translation something TRDO1, DOT union TRQ Q entails FT plus 1. And in the previous slide, I actually give the name. Here I just made it TR, but in the slide, I have the exact name here saying this is TRDO is part of this. This is TRDO1, and then this part is called TRQ1. So you translate the domain, you translate this part, the observations, and then this one is the query part. There's a reason why I separated them, because there is a different way to translate this part and this part. So that's why I separated them. So what I'm saying is, if there's a consistent domain description, complete set of initial state observations, and a query Q of this form, then this is true if and only if this. Okay? And so this is actually a little difference between the reasoning about action community and the planning community. In the planning community, people have developed planner based on this idea, but they usually do not prove that this really works. So they figure this out, and most of the time they do it right, and then run experiments, run planners and show timings, but never actually prove that this thing works, because you can make a mistake. I mean, this is not so simple. You can make a mistake. So this has happened in many, like in the, if you look at the planning literature, starting with the paper like Couch, Selman, they were one of the initial ones. They don't have a proof of saying that this kind of compilation will work. So they just do it. Stack planner, right? So they don't have a proof of this. But as I said, means anybody can write anything. Unless you prove it, you don't know that translation is correct. I mean, this is so quite complicated, like somebody can make a mistake. Okay, and if you make a mistake, then this whole thing does not work. So it's important, if you are really going to bank on this approach, then you have to prove it, that indeed you can make that conclusion using this. So do you understand why the proof is important? Because without proof, it doesn't make any sense. Without proof, it's just someone saying, oh, I took this, I did this, and then the question is, so what? Does it work? I mean, if it works, then how do you know it works? Somebody will, how do you know that this will work? And that's just, okay, I proved it. If you didn't prove it, then, I mean, it may work, may not work. Okay? So just making a translation is not necessarily correct. I mean, it is not at the final step. If you are saying that I can compute the entailment between DO and Q by translating it to propositional logic, then you give a translation, you don't stop there. You have to go one more step and show that indeed, if you translate, I mean, what you're doing in your translation is correct. That is, you have to prove that theorem or proposition. We prove this. So this is what we want to find. Okay, this is our question: that given D and O, does it entail this query? And we're saying, okay, we are going to do it by translating it into a propositional theory, like this, and asking this question. Okay. So the point is that how do we know that these are equivalent, or this, if and only if this? Unless we prove it, we do not know. Okay. So we got to prove it, and here is kind of a proof sketch of how to go about it. It's not an easy proof, actually. I give some hint about how to do it. You have to kind of prove. So you have to prove this, right? So you can prove by induction on the size of this T. Okay, you can prove with saying, okay, if I have only one axon or two axon or T axon, so you can do by induction. And you can say the base case that T is 0. Okay, there is no axon. Okay? So the way to do it is by induction, and that's when your 355 helps, if you have taken the mathematical course. So here you do by induction, and you say, okay, suppose there is no A1 to A, there is no axon at all. So is F, just I have F, so DO enters Q, that is F, after, that is initially F, if this thing enters F1, right? T is 0, basically. Now, obviously, if O is complete, so let's think about this base case, okay? So base case is saying that there's no action happened, and F is true, okay? So that means DO enters F after A1 to A T, all that is, there's no T at all, so it's basically same as initially F. So DO entails that F is initially true, given that this translation entails F is F1. And this is obvious, because if F is initially true, then it has to be part of O, and you are translating anything that is in O as F1. Right? So there is going to be a very easy, the base case is kind of easy. So then you, induction proof is, you say, okay, let's assume that it's true up to K, and then I'm going to prove it is true for K plus 1. Right? Or it's true up to K minus 1, and I want to go to prove for K. So here, the way we do it, I mean, that is, it's complicated, but let me give you some steps to do here. So if it is, think of this, if something is true in K plus 1, right? So you have this formula. So you can think of this. So suppose you go one way. Suppose this is true, F square plus 1 is true. Then this implies that one of these is true. Right? Say, so which one? So these are all odd. So suppose this one is true. So this means that this action A1 happened, and all these three conditions are true. Right? Now this will basically correspond that in the theory DOQ, this thing will be true after time point, in time point, say we're talking about n plus 1, it will be true in n, because you have assumed by induction. So you are basically going from n plus 1, you're saying, okay, this is true, one of these is true, and from the inductive step, we have all the results about here. And so we are fine. If this is the case, again, the inductive step helps us to match them. I mean, I don't want to do the proof here, but the main thing to remember is the way we have defined is very much inductive. It's basically saying if this is true, then you go back to the n step, and all these n things are you are assuming by induction. That takes you to n plus 1. So you have to do very carefully, but that is the idea, is do by induction, base case, and then say, okay, let's assume that this kind of things all come to the k, then or k minus 1, and we want to go to next step. Okay, the proportion of surface is a unique model given by this by induction. The T there written there or? This one? Let's see what you're saying. So T is basically T comes from this thing. Okay? This T comes from the query that we have asked. So that's what we are trying to prove, that this if and only if this. Okay? Here. So by induction we want to prove that if it is for one or whatever on, we have to prove induction on this indices. So I might have, I'm not sure if I should write K or T here. This is fine. So I'm not expecting you to remember this proof, but what I want you to remember is that if ever you have to do research on this kind of thing, okay, and you are going to transform a problem to another thing, I have this problem and I'll solve it by translating to a stack formulation. The thing to remember is you have to prove that indeed your translation is correct. That you just cannot give some translation and say, okay, I give a translation and it works in my example. So if ever you have to do something like this, then you must prove it. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to prove it. Actually, in some of the classes I did ask for homework to prove it. I already gave you one, so I'll wait for the next one. But proof is important. Okay? If you do something like this for your project, then you need to prove it. And that reminds me, you should start thinking about projects. Okay, you have gotten an idea about the course. Actually, it was good that I was gone a week, because then you got to know about the temporal logic aspect. So you have some idea about the course now, and normally we can wait till the end of the course and then give you the project, but then you won't have time to do it. So I suggest that you start thinking about it, and October 15 you should finalize. That way it will give you at least a month and a half to work on it. October 15th. So talk to me based on your interest. I can direct you. You got the basic idea. You can look at your other fields or this field or talk. Think of thoughts. What you might want to do. Okay. So keep. Keep talk to me and don't come on October 14th saying I don't know what to do. Then you're in trouble. Actually, I might give you, so today is September 20th, so I guess let's put another deadline of October 1st, that you should have an initial proposal, like just an email sent to me that this is what I want to do. So that guarantees that we have 2 weeks of communication. Okay? So by October 1, you must give me some suggestion of what you want to do. And then between October 1 and 15, we finalize. Sound fine? Okay. So now we can go back and see, can we simplify these things? Is there anything when a little painful or not very, this whole thing is complicated, but is there a way to simplify some of the things? For example, the query part, the three, it says f after a1 to at, and if I just want to say a1 happened in time 0.1, a2 happened in time 0.2, right? Why I have to say that all these things do not happen? Maybe I can somehow write some other formula which will derive this. Okay, because I'm repeating all these things. So it's always good to minimize the number of things you have to write to make your encoding as small as possible. So, is there a way to make the encoding 3 smaller? Is there any general principles there? And that's good. What is good about using propositional logic is if you think of some general principle, you can write it in logic, and then that makes other parts simpler. Like, for example, here, what you are saying is that every time point, exactly one action occurs, right? If you can say that every one time point, exactly one action occurs, then all you have to say in addition to that is A1 happened at 1, A2 happened at 2, A3 happened at 3, AT happened at T, that's all. Together, it will imply that complicated formula written there. So how do I write exactly one action occurs at a time point, each of the time points? So that says that at any time point, two different actions cannot occur. Right. So that means, yeah, there cannot be two different actions occurring. So is that enough? That's saying that two different actions cannot occur at the same time. So does that capture the meaning that that you want? Huh? Maybe. What? Right. So the other part that is missing is that at every time point, at least one action occurs. So you can divide it in two parts. You can say every time point, at least one action occurs, and at every time point, two different actions do not occur. Taken together, this means that at every time point, exactly one action occurs. And can you see what's happening? Interesting thing is, in a way, we are solving a problem, right? We are solving if DO entails this query, but we are solving it in a very different way, different style. We're just writing what is the meaning of this, and let the SAT solver compute. It's very different from if you were to write a Java or a C program. Right? It's a very different style of programming. It's called declarative programming. You can express what you want, and the solver behind it gives you the thing. You don't tell, I mean, if you're to Java, you say, okay, for you have to write an array, or you have to follow this to this, do this, and so on, right? Here, you are not saying all that. You're just giving the properties. So it's a very interesting to think of that way. Okay. So that's what I have in this slide, this one. So what we did was basically we put some things. So that so this TRDO2 is basically whatever we had in TRDO1 plus we added this. What we added is if A1 to AR are all the actions in the domain, then at every time point, at least one of them occur. Okay. And the other thing that we are saying is, what do I think? For all I between 1 to T and JK between 1 to R, where J is not equal to K, AG. Basically we are saying that the two different actions do not occur at the same point. Okay? I cannot have, if AJ and AK are different, I cannot have them occurring at the same time. Okay? So this is saying at every time point, at least one action occurs. And this is saying at every time point, two different actions cannot occur. So if I say that, then this query translation becomes very simple. Just A1 to 1, A2 2, and AT at T. Okay? So the proposition says that I can compute this by, instead of doing 1, I can do TRDO2 and TRQ2. So there can be more than one way of doing it. Okay, all I did was, it was more complicated here, so I added these things so to make simplify this. And there is another purpose of doing this too, which we'll see. Does this make sense? Do you understand what happened here? All we did was, this one was very complicated, So if you go back, you'll see it was kind of, this whole thing was like this. So we said, okay, we'll simplify it. We'll just have A11 and say A22 and say ATT. Okay? And at every and so we wanted to simplify this, and what we did was, in addition to this this TRDO, this part, we added some more things. And what did we add? We added that at every time point at least one axon occurs, and at every time point two different axons cannot occur. At least one axon occur would be covered by here. Yes, but that is the usefulness of that. So in this particular case, this one will cover it. But we are thinking declaratively. So we are thinking, okay, we want to say that every time point exactly one axon occurs. So how do I say that? I have to say these two things. Okay? Because we are starting, that's the general knowledge, that at every time point exactly one axon occurs. So that's what how we said here. And then when we translate, we say, okay, at each time point, A1 happens at 1, A2 happens at 2, and AT happens at T. So, but he's right that if we have this, this is becomes unnecessary. But that's okay. We can have additional clauses. That's not a problem. Okay? Okay, so now I want you to really think. How do I go from here? So far we are answering this question, right? So now we want to answer the new question. Find A1 to AT such that DO entails F after A1 to AT. So now we want to actually go and do planning. And surprisingly, all that we did so far, we just have to change it very little. We change very little things, and we are able to answer this question. So try to think. You have the slides in front of you. Try to think what changes we need to be able to answer this question. Okay? What do we have to do? What we might need? Very little changes needed. And that's also another beauty. Means we go from one problem to totally different problem, and you only need very, very little change. No, we, in your domain you have a bunch of axons. So let's assume, say, for example, we say here, if A1 to AR are all the axons in the domain, so we have all, we know all the axons. Okay? So we know all the axons. You got an idea? I don't know what you mean. You want to say for each time point some action happens, A1. So you are not writing any C program, so you are not going to try all possibilities. All you want to do is, I gave you this this thing, this TRDO, you want to make some changes here, some minor changes here, and from that you should be able to get your answer. For example, we change the query now, right? There's no query, right? So we basically don't have this part. First thing is we don't have that part, okay? Because we don't have a query, we are supposed to find it. So now think of what will happen if you have these propositional models, right? What will happen if you have these things plus what we had initially, the TRDO1, and you try to find the models of that theory? What are you going to get? Think of that. What are you trying to say? Here you are saying this part, that at every time point exactly one action occurs, right? So the model of that is there will be many models. So suppose I have this. So let's think of this. Suppose my domain has three actions, okay? A1, A2, and A3. So now if I write this, what this says is, suppose I have only two time points. Okay, let's do this. So it says that A1, 1, or A2, 1, or A3, 1. Say I have two time points, and then A1, 2, or A2, 2, or A3, 2. Okay? This is this part. Saying that at every time point, one of these actions happens. Now the second part says that at any time point I cannot have both of them. So I cannot have, say, not of A1, 1 and A2, 1. Okay? So at time point 1 I cannot have both A1 and A2. Similarly, this one says at time point 1 I cannot have both A1 and A3. Okay? So you can write them, there will be, for each of these, there will be 3 to 6 of them, basically. Let's write all 6 of them, actually. And here, not of A2, 1 and A3, 1. So this, I'm just going to separate out. So similarly, I will have A2, 2 and A3, 2. Not of A1, 2 and A2, 2. Not of A1, 2 and A3, 2. Okay? So if I have three actions and two time points, then this is the theory I'm going to get. And can you tell me what will be the models of these theories? Did I make some mistake? Or? Do you understand how from these you get this? Yeah, now just answer my question. So do you understand first that if I have three actions and two time points, then I get this? Yes? Now actually you don't even have to look at this. If I did correctly, the idea is that at every time point exactly one action occurs. So what will be the model of these propositional theory? What are the models? So how many models are there? Of this theory. Two time points. Nine, right? There are three actions, so there's no problem in repeating. So what can happen is there's two time points, right? One and two. So all we are saying is you can have A1 here, A2 here, or A1 here, A3 here, A1 here, let's put A1, 2, 3. Similarly, A2, A1, A2, 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 A3. and then similarly A3, A1, A3, A2, A3, A3, and in this notation it basically means this is 1, this is 2, this is 1, this is 2, and so on. Okay, basically each of these are models. In this model exactly one A1 happens in time point 1 and A2 happens in time point 2. Right? That's exactly what you'll get from these. You have a question? No. Okay. So did you see that the model of these is this? I mean, it's actually, if you want to calculate it, it's not going to be, it's not obvious because you have to try one by one. Okay? But if you think of intuitively, that's what we are trying to say. That at every time point, exactly one action occurs. And since we have two time points and three actions, if we wrote this correctly, this is what we are going to get. Yes? That's exactly at time point one. A1 can happen and everything else is false. And time point two, A1 happens and everything else is false. So we're just writing the true part, we're not writing the false part because there are too many false things. So now does that give you a hint? So if you compare this, basically one of these models gives you what you had in this query part. Right? And so this is the part which says, so what are the information that you're having? So the information that you have is the O gives you, if you go back to the O, so let's look at it. The O gives you what is true in the time point 1, right? And then this tells you in each model what actions happen. Okay? And then these ones, this formula tells you, you know what is true in 1, okay? So the O tells you what is true in time point 1. This O tells you what is true in time point 1. Right? And then this one tells you all the action occurrences. And then the translation of D tells you progressing from 1 to 2, 3 up to T. Right? That's what this one does. It says, okay, if you know what is true in n, you can find out what is true in n plus 1. So if you know something in 1, and you know the action, you can find out what is true in 2, what is 3, 4, and so on. Okay? Now here, there are multiple action occurrences, so giving rise to multiple models. So let me think of a what we could do is go back to the previous example, and that might help. So now let's go back to this example and you can see. So suppose we have the same O1 not loaded and alive, and we have these things, but instead of the query, we are asked to find a plan such that not alive is true. Okay? So how do we find a plan so that not alive is true? So what I would like, actually, this time, to write down using this general methodology that I showed you. So let's write this example and do this, because I want you to get it. I can tell you the answer is very simple, but I want you to, if you can able to figure out how to do planning there, then basically you are understanding the whole concept. Yes. Okay. You're getting close. Let me give you this example, then you'll be clear. Okay? So, I mean, do hands on. Okay? So I have this whole our D1 is load causes loaded, right? Suit causes not alive if loaded. Okay? And I gave it, you write down this translation. I mean, I don't want to. So the translation is this part. Now observation O1 is initially not loaded, and initially alive. And now our question is different from what we did before. Find A1 or action sequence, say, find a sequence of length 2. Okay, say A1 and A2, such that D1 and O1 entails initially alive, right? Not alive after A1 and A2. So this is what we want to do. Okay, write down the translation for D1. Okay, this is the translation for D1. So, okay, maybe the translation from D1 is loaded n plus 1 is load n or loaded n. Loaded n plus 1 if and only if load n or loaded n. Alive n plus 1 if and only if alive n and not alive n and not suit n or not loaded n. So this is the D part. The O part is the not loaded one and not loaded one, alive one. Okay. Now we don't do the query because we are now planning, so we are not doing this part. So let me go back to this slide now. Okay, fine. So now So this was this part. So now we want to add this part about the time points. So we have time points 1 and 2. Okay. So time point 1 and say 2. Basically, what action occurred in time point 1, and then what action occurred in time point 2. So action that can happen in time point 1, there's load and suit, right? So load can happen. Load. So there's four possibilities: load, suit, and load. Okay, so I can have load one, load two, load one, and suit two, suit one, and suit two, suit one, and load two. Okay. So this part basically, instead of writing it down like some complicated, I just wrote down the model. Okay, I can write it down too. So now what do I do with the how do I find the plan? this one should be written differently. So let me see. So this will be at each time point. So let me just use L. So L 1 or suit 1, L 1 or L 2 or suit 2, and not L 1 and suit 1, not L 2 and suit 2. These are all square brackets, don't worry about the bracket part. So this is the theory whose models are this, that at time point 1 either load or suit happen, at time point 2 either load or suit happen, and time point 1 load and suit both cannot happen, time point 2 load and suit both cannot happen. Okay? So this is my theory. What can I do with it to make my plan? The model of this is this, just to give an idea what this implication of this is. Okay. Now if you think of, in propositional logic, suppose I have a theory like this, okay, which has two parts, T1 and T2. So for something to be model of both, it has to be model of this and model of this. Okay. It has to satisfy all of both, all of them. So these are the models I have, this part. And I have to add more information about, loaded and alive and so on. But these lead to models, and I can use them to build up things. So why don't you do this? Okay. So if you have these and these, right? So you can say, okay, well, these ones give me this partial model so far. So now I'll take load 1 and load 2, and I'll use these information to complete this model. So complete this 4 models and see what happens. What do you get? When this part comes from here, then you can use these. So suppose I have load 1 and load 2. So that might give me some information. I have already not loaded and alive. Maybe I can get something from here. So you want to add as much as possible to each of them. And let's see if that can tell you something. Do up to only point 3. So you have this, complete this. Take this and this part and complete this thing. Saying I have load 1, load 2, and I have these. What more I need to add to my model? So if I have not load, see if I have not loaded 1, right, and I do load 1, then loaded 2 will be true, right? So we can complete this. So let me see. Yeah. So let me erase this and make it clear. So to complete this, so this one, definitely I have to add. If I have load 1, I have load 1. This implies that I have to have loaded 1, loaded 2. In my model, so I'll just write L. So I have to have loaded 2, because load and loaded will be confused. So let me write down loaded. Loaded 2. Okay. Yes. And if the gun is loaded in 2, then it will be loaded in 3, and I'll stop at 3, because I have only 2 actions. Okay. And I of course have alive at 1, so I have the previously I had alive 1, so this one is always there. Alive 1 is always in there in all of these models because the fact. Okay. So this is what you can represent this. So you can say, okay, time 1, 2, and what was before? So if you look at this model, okay, what is known at time point 1? Before I know is I know alive 1, okay? And then I'm just writing it in a more organized manner. And then action at time point one, what happened? Load one happened. Okay. This is one. Two. Then after load one happened, I'm forced to have loaded two. And after loaded two, I have this action load two happen here. And I'm forced to have loaded three. Okay. Now what about alive? Alive is true at one. Will alive become true at two? So let's see. Alive one and two did not happen. So obviously alive will be true at 2 too. So this is alive 2. And alive will be true at 3 too. Okay? So this is the action I'm underlining it. Initially it was alive and then load made it loaded and then alive stayed and then load made it continued to be loaded and alive. So this is this module. You see? So now try to compute for the other one. Try to compute the second line in this style. Like what is the thing at 1 and then when you, what is here, what is 2 and what happens after that. So this is the exactly time point where the action happens. This is what is true before the action and then what happens after. So if you compute all of them, that gives you the model. That basically is the model. Okay? So there are three of them. Just do it. So at time point 1, this here is all of them have alive 1, because that's the fact, alive 1. Okay. And here it was load 1, here it is load 1, here it happened, suit happened, here suit 1. And we know the actions, so we can add those actions, load, suit, 2, suit 2 and load 2. So all you have to do is fill these lines. In a sense, you don't have to even actually look at that. You can just look at the logic to figure out, assuming this is correct, what will be true here. Turkey was alive, you loaded, what happens? The gun gets loaded and turkey remains alive. Right? And then you suit. Gun is low, still remains loaded, but turkey is no longer alive. Right? Yeah? Am I losing some people? Like, can you follow this calculation? So here, alive and suit. So alive and suit, the gun is, we don't know anything about loaded, so what happens? Still alive, right? So, yeah, you can check this. So if you have alive one and did not suit, is not loaded, okay, actually you suit, but you suit, but this is not loaded, so this part is true. Okay? Even if this part is false, if this is true, then this false or true is true. So this is true and it was alive in time point 1, so it stays alive in time point 2. I lost you somewhere, right? It suit means it's pulling the trigger. So this gun you can, that's what our description says. We are trying to find a plan so that the turkey would be not alive after it. And I am trying to figure, come get it from you, how we find that plan. Yes. We find it?
If we can find an assignment to that proposition,
okay. that's the that's what may happen. I don't know. That could happen. Okay. But I want you to be. I want you to be able to think why that should, if that is the case, why that would be happening. So that's why I'm giving this example of seeing what happens. I'm trying to find you all the models. So let's take this example and see all the models and see how you, from these models, you can find the plan. Okay, that's the idea. So from these models, you can find some plan. But how does that happen? So we are computing all the models. Okay? So here is alive and then suit. It's still 10 minutes, right? Yeah, 8 minutes. And the turkey remains alive because we don't have, the gun is not loaded. Now in this case, alive, suit is still alive, and I mean you don't suit anymore, you just load, so you get the gun is alive 3 and loaded 3. So you have these four models. So what is happening, think of this, what is happening is we're saying that this is initially true. This is how the world may evolve. Four ways, right? This is initially true. This is how the world may evolve, these four ways. And we are saying, okay, find a plan where the turkey is dead. So we say, okay, where in this evolution the turkey is dead? And it is this one, right? So we say, okay, whatever action happened in this evolution, that is the plan which will make the turkey dead. Okay? That's basically what we are doing. We are saying, we compute all the evolutions, and then in those evolutions, these are basically all the possible evolutions, with the constraint that at any time point only exactly one action occurs, because we don't want concurrent actions at this point. And we're saying in each of these evolutions, in which evolution the turkey is dead, our goal is true. And exactly in this one, our goal is true, the turkey is actually dead, because we just have loaded. Here it is alive, 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 this is the one where it is dead. And we say, okay, what really made it? This is the plan. And that basically is the plan. So we look at this model and we find out what actions are there, and that tells us what is the plan. Okay? And there might be multiple such evolutions, there might be multiple plans. One what?
One
thing. Yes. Yeah,
no. We have four lines.
Yeah, right.
And we use the law operator to connect them.
To connect this four?
Four lines, yeah.
Why? These are models, so it's not a formula yet. These are my formulas. So this is my formula, and these formulas have these models. Okay, if I give it to SAT solver might give me this, or this, or all four of them one by one. So this is the SAT theory. These are the models that the SAT solver will give me. Okay? So we can add this goal. Do we add ft dot 1 to this? And yes, we just add ft plus c. Ft plus 1 to our thing, and that way all the other non-models are eliminated. And whatever we are left with, we just have to extract the action occurrences from that, and we get our plan. So that's exactly what I have in the last slide. Is basically. There was a typo there, but that's what it is. Is all you have to do is just add the goal to it. This one is not there. So if you are looking at, so whatever the translation was, just add the goal and ask it to find a model. Each model will encode a plan. So basically, going back to the previous slide, we had this complicated. We had this thing to reason. So when we don't have a query, you don't have to do anything this part. There is no this part, and instead of ft plus 1 here, you just add the f here and find the models, So if you add like say not alive, then you will only find these models, because all the other models will be contradicted and they will be thrown out. Which one? This is internal. No. So we want to find a sequence of axioms which give us not alive, right? So we're going to add our goal to it, not the opposite. No, it's a different thing between logic programs and here. Right. No, the entailment comes here. Then there is no. We are not talking about entailment here. Here we are trying to find a model where not alive is true. Right. So it eliminates all the models where not alive is not true. See, we are not doing entailment. We are not doing entailment. We are saying find a sequence of length so that this is true. Okay. If we are trying to find a sequence. No, so just add this not alive. So what will happen if I add not alive? So this will not be a model, this will not be a model, this will be not be a model. Only this one will be a model. And that model will give us a plan. Observations are complete here. So, going back, the reason we had that duplication is basically this part gives you all the evolutions. So you can think of this part basically tells you that this part gives you the TRDO1 and this part gives you the evolution. What is true initially? So what you are doing? What is true initially, right? Then you are saying different actions might happen, and then you are finding how things progress. So this part basically gives you all possible evolutions. Now you have a goal, and you throw out all the evolutions where the goal is not true. Okay, you can just add the goal, and automatically all those will be thrown out. So whatever remains are basically the models which have the plans encoded in them. You just pick out the actions and say, okay, that's my plan. Right. So the drawback of this approach is you have to give it the size of the plan that you're looking for. Okay, so here we assume that, there is ways to get around it, but one drawback is you have to give it the size of the plan you're looking for. Find? You can find, but then you might have to try one by one, or you have to do, kind of, it's like a search kind of a question becomes, you can do a binary search to find a sort of smaller plan. No, you cannot encode. No, that will take you one more complicated. Okay, it's not going to be NP-complete. So that's also important. Knowing that this is NP-complete, planning is NP-complete, and the finding a model is NP-complete. So that's why you could do this transformation. So that also helps. You cannot take a problem which is harder and try to do it by solving fast. Just cannot do it. And that's the reason I was teaching all this sigma 1 and NP complete and talking about it. Because this kind of methodology, you just need to know how far you can go. So when you do minimization, then it becomes harder. It goes to the next level. Okay. Main difficulty was you don't have any experience with that, satisfiability or the declarative kind of thing. So that's why you couldn't get it, but you got it kind of beforehand. Little bit how to do it. So, but now you understand, right? What's happening? Just you are encoding the evolution. You give, and if you want to do conclusions, if you the first case you want to find the query, then you have all the evolution and you ask the query, and you tell which actions happen, and for those actions happen, you can ask in each module what is the answer, and if you get the answer, that's fine. When you're doing planning, you have all the possible evolutions, you don't know what actions to pick, then you have the goal, and you look at all the evolutions and say, where do I, my goal is satisfied, and look at only those evolutions and pick those, pluck those actions, and that gives you the plan. Okay. Yeah. No, because the action, the action occurrences are multiple, so it's not a single model. Okay, there are multiple models. In this example particularly happens that there is only exactly one, there might be multiple plans, then you have multiple models. Uh-huh. A theory satisfies not alive. I mean, that's the case always. If it satisfies something, it will entail. Just forget about observations or anything. If a theory satisfies something, it will entail something. I mean, what you're saying is that if you have a single model, there can be only one initial state, but there can be multiple models. Because of the actions are multiple, they are multiple the actions. Okay, so if it is a single action, then a single model, then entailment in the model or existence of model is the same thing. But if there are multiple models, it's not the same thing. Okay.